In June 1990, Barbara Bush visited the campus of Wellesley College to perform the routine duty of delivering a commencement speech to that year's graduating class. She was roughly 18 months into her tenure as First Lady and was in the midst of a busy graduation season. She had already delivered remarks to graduates at the University of Pennsylvania and St. Louis University. Her appearance at Wellesley, an elite all-female school in the woods of eastern Massachusetts, was supposed to be the sort of choreographed assignment that she could carry out in between fundraising trips to Texas and White House events in Washington. But Barbara had known that her Wellesley visit would be different. The students hadn't wanted her to come. The year had marked the dawn of a new decade, and a generation of young American women had been raised on the promise that they would benefit from the landmark political and cultural changes that had occurred during their lifetimes. The Equal Pay Act of 1963 had prohibited workplace and pay discrimination on the basis of sex. In 1973, Roe v. Wade established a constitutional right to abortion. The 1980s saw women enter the workforce at unprecedented levels, prompting new discussions about how to balance having a family and a career and whether it was at all possible. So the First Lady's trip to Massachusetts was overshadowed by a roiling debate over whether Barbara, then the 64-year-old wife of a Republican president and a woman whose primary life achievements included supporting her family, deserved to deliver the Wellesley commencement address. Wellesley teaches that we will be rewarded on the basis of our own merit, not on that of a spouse, read a petition that circulated among students protesting the First Lady's speech. To honor Barbara Bush as a commencement speaker is to honor a woman who has gained recognition through the achievements of her husband, which contravenes what we have been taught over the last 4 years at Wellesley. Barbara had not been their first choice. That privilege had gone to the Black novelist Alice Walker, who won the 1983 Pulitzer Prize for The Color Purple, an exploration of Black womanhood, gender roles, sexual discovery, and resilience. American feminism was slowly beginning to expand its gaze from the white middle class to include women of color, but Walker was vocal in her belief that feminism, at least as it was understood, discussed, and marketed, had not been inclusive enough. She had coined the term womanist to make the point that feminism, at least as far as a generation of white women had defined it, largely excluded the experiences of women of color. Walker was a provocative and accomplished author who could challenge a graduating class primarily composed of middle-class white women, but she declined the invitation. The invitation was repurposed and sent to the Bush White House, where it promptly sparked a debate about modern feminism that drew national attention. The graduates were trying to understand, really, the limits of what they were allowed to want. Was it a career? Was it a career and a marriage? Was it a career, a marriage, and children? This was the first generation to be introduced to the idea of having it all, a phrase that has, for decades, prompted endless searching discussions, but no universal answer. If you ask Jill Biden, a working mother and grandmother with a demanding schedule, what having it all means, she will look at you quizzically before answering, "I don't think you can really have it all. You know, at least not at the same time, and I think I would never say that for myself." The criticism over the invitation to Barbara was so widespread that even the president got involved. President George H.W. Bush could not resist defending his wife. "I think these young women can have a lot to learn from Barbara Bush, and from her unselfishness, and from her advocacy of literacy, and of being a good mother, and a lot of other things," the president said, according to a front-page story in the New York Times that appeared in May 1990.